My name is Judy Madison, and we're doing a session today on prayer, which I hope will involve you in part, but also just to take a look overall at some of the resources we can have for prayer and to do some reflecting on what it means in our lives. I thought for a gimmick, if you will, that we could use these three letters up here, TAM, T-A-M, and see how they might help us work with the notion of prayer. But let's begin with prayer first. Lord, we're grateful for a place like Holden where we can settle in and change what is our normal routine in life and take time to be in meditation and in relationship to you. Help us make the best use of this time, whether it is in prayer or in learning or with one another. Use us, Lord, to our best abilities. Strengthen us. Forgive us. Help us to go on every day. Amen. Each of us uses prayer, I think, a little differently, probably. Just offhand, if you feel as if you want to share yet. Probably don't know each other all that well. How do you use prayer? I know for me that my most common use of prayer is intercessory, that I am concerned about people or something. I have a list beside my bed. In fact, it's a lot like this kind of a board where you write on it with a magic marker style, and you can change it. I always feel a little guilty when I take someone's name off, you know. They've moved into another category. But then I can at least keep track of who it is I want to remember, and then I can't miss seeing it just before I go to sleep, because that's my prayer time. How about for you? What's it like for you?
I pray for my pupils on my way to school. Usually I concentrate on at least two that maybe are having problems, or I feel that I might be having a problem with, or a faculty member, and I found that helpful.
Okay.
Dang me shut, so somebody might know of, taught me to use old envelopes so nothing got wasted. And to, as people during the day would ask me to pray for them, I'd write it down and they wouldn't cross off their name off the prayer list until after the prayer was answered, no matter which way it was answered. Mm. And then I always had the list of my prayers with me. So, and often, with the kind of husband I have, I get stuck someplace where I'm waiting for him. And so I always have something to read and a prayer list in my purse so that I don't feel my time is wasted while I'm reading.
That's one of our first things that I'll take right from what you said. We have to have time in order to pray. And of course, we know what that usually means. Take time. Because it doesn't just appear. I have a younger friend who said the other day that he's sort of just waiting for someone to come along and he'll just be madly in love with this person and just get kind of head over heels, I think was the expression. As if it was just going to happen out of nowhere. So it is with prayer. It doesn't just happen out of nowhere, but we have to sometimes take time for it, set it aside. First of all, I want to say that I know many of us, perhaps even most of us, forget to pray. Much of the time. That's my guess, anyway. And so when I say these things, I don't want to come off as, well, I don't want you to be thinking, well, you're not making it if you're not a person who hasn't had a regular prayer life. But for some of you, perhaps it is quite regular, as when you pray on your way to school. Are there others of you who have particular times where it fits better?
Well, I just have a time in the evening that I go up to my little place, my little hole or my little closet, almost in my room. And you know, I try to do it several times a week for like a half an hour to an hour. And both the intercessory and the more contemplative prayer, just sort of basking in the presence of God, being, you know, allowing him in just to be. I my own philosophy is, you know, we can have a relationship with God back and forth, be in communion with him, and I sort of started that in the last about year and a half. And it's been very, very, I've been going for spiritual direction at a Catholic retreat center. And I go every week.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think spiritual direction is something that is becoming more, shall we say, popular. More people know about it, but then a number of people really don't know what spiritual direction is. Would you talk about it a little?
Well, I think it probably takes a lot of different forms. But for me, it has been meeting with a nun who's a real, you know, 70-year-old spry young old lady, just terrific, who, you know, has helped me learn to pray and learn to be open to the presence of God and to, you know, relating to God. I've gone through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, which is just one method of learning to open myself, open yourself to the presence of God. And I don't know, it's hard to explain.
But I think that you did touch on one thing that we could, some of us, use, and that's ritual. That if we had a ritual, it would become part of us. It becomes more, even more physical, as well as a mental exercise. And so we don't wait for the time to squeeze itself in between, but that it's a planned thing.
And for me, I'm a person who, if I have a commitment made to with another person, I'm much more apt to keep it than if I just have it made with myself. So. you know, knowing that I'm going to go and see her every week, then that really, then I, you know, I don't want to let her down. And, you know, I don't want her to be lonely or whatever. So.
And then she has a different perspective on you, yes, and can kind of offer some things that she, yes, sees you may need. It's very growing movement.
It is, and it's been so growth-inspiring for me. And I think of it, I mean, she's, you know, she might be a spiritual director, but it's also the direction of the Spirit working within, opening yourself, I believe, it's opening myself to the Spirit's inspiration. And she's very open, and she doesn't try to convert me to Catholicism, or, you know, like in one of the exercises, pray to Mary and to Jesus and to God. And I said, well, I can't pray to Mary. In fact, I don't even pray to Jesus very often. I almost always pray. She said, well, then do it the way you do it. You know, there's no set way here that you have to be or do. But, you know, be open to the promptings of the Spirit and whatever works. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a real, you know, just a new world for me that I wouldn't pray for anything.
I've never heard anyone say otherwise about spiritual direction. Anyone else have a?
Well, I have a prayer that I say over and over and over again, and that kind of leads me into in my spiritual direction, you might say. If I get in the car, I say, and this is the prayer that I use. I can tell you the origin of it. It was when, in my confirmation class, the pastor had us all do a prayer. He said, I want you to have a prayer in your mind so that anytime you're asked to pray, you'll be ready.
Oh, interesting.
And so I have taken a piece of that confirmation prayer, and it has become almost a mantra, you might say. Mm-hmm. I'll get in the car and I'll say it, and then that leads me to other spiritual thoughts and people that I want to pray for while I'm driving. Show me thy way, thy truth, and thy light. Help me to know thee better and love thee more. Mm-hmm. That, to me, puts me in the mindset that I want.
Very good, and then it's ready for you at that time, and it's sort of automatic.
I say it many times a day. Sometimes maybe I don't say it at all, but usually I'm saying it, I'm repeating it from time to time, because it seems to fulfill my needs.
That was a good confirmation, Pastor. Good help.
I think that that's why the cults were so strong, because they did teach a mantra. And and then you had something to grab a hold of right away. Mm-hmm. And I think she has something to grab a hold of right away.
I do too. I think it's excellent. You know, I brought over some resources, and here are daily readings for the entire year written by Martin Luther. You've heard of him? Which is, that's another useful way to have something that is right there all the time for you to draw. And Martin Luther did a good job. Of course.
Is that in the bookstore?
Yes, I took that. Everything that I use over here is from the bookstore. So, time...
For some of us, Judy, I suppose we've had these beautiful opportunities in our life to be related to a profession where you have to camp and you have a certain role to play with the high school kids particularly, and it gets to be one of the things that, because the Christian name is involved in the program, it gets to be a natural to say, well, now we ought to be exploring this part of our life more. And then you keep on going on different things, so that seems terribly important, and you do it those kinds of ways for a long time in your life. Then you get with a group saying, well, now for the next 3 months we're going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, set the alarm at 5, irrespective, everybody's going to do it. So you, for a 2 or 3 month period, get up and, you know, you find it as a tremendously stimulating experience to know that another group of a dozen persons are doing the same thing, and you've got a pretty good outline, and you do some writing along with what you're thinking as your prayer for that particular day. Then you get involved with some person who is starting a business, and you want to start on a Christian basis, and you believe in this person because you knew him as a high school kid, and he said, now I need your prayers and your support, and so you get involved in praying and that, and lo and behold, that business fails. But could I check that off as a failure in God's prayer at that point? Well, the strange thing about it, he wouldn't take that as failure, insisted on taking on another business, and in a 2, 3, 4 year span now, has been able to put together a business which he goes back and says to his investors in this previous business, I'm going to give you stock out of my own stock for this. So you see, when you start talking about keeping an envelope until you're sure that the prayer is answered, you might have to keep some for 20, 25, 30, 50, 75 years, live long. So there's a lot of different ways, and I suppose as one goes through life, you do certain kinds of things, but I think you're suggesting some things here that the finding of something that is significant, the daily word, the reading of the upper room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that is a starting point from which you then can check on these kinds of things that have got to have a high priority. Like now, it seems to me that my continuous concern every day is how can this organization, this good old Luther organization, of which I'm a part of in Minneapolis, do its job effectively. And so that's got to be almost my number one prayer, and can I raise some money so that we can do some additional outreach program, so it gets to be put on me to do that as a high priority.
I think Lindy's asking for our prayers for Ebenezer.
Well,
you got him.
Glad to accept it.
Time was one of those things, and I guess we've just sort of alluded to it here. Topic is the other. One of the things I think we have tended to do is leave all of this to the clergy, especially Lutherans, I think, do that in a liturgical church. We've abdicated it, which I thought was nice of your confirmation pastor to at least prepare you to have one in hand at all times, because we have a tendency of thinking that the only ones who know how to say grace are the pastors, or the only ones who know how to pray well, or the professionals, professional prayers. So that when it's time to say something out loud, we're editing ourselves and critiquing ourselves from the moment we open our mouths, which of course gets us out of relationship anyway, because God isn't doing that. And we get nervous about it. If we think about our topic, everything is a topic for prayer, is it not?
Everything.
All of life. Absolutely everything. The good and the bad and the whole thing. In the book for teenagers, the teenager writes, "There are things that I can't talk about, odd thoughts, some of them dumb, some of them disgusting, some of them just random, unexpected, and questions, who can I ask? Sometimes I can't talk about things I've done. My parents wouldn't understand, or they'd worry, or they'd think I was crazy. And I'm not sure if I can tell some of my friends either. They might laugh at my ideas. I'm not always proud of what I think or do. So what do I do, Lord? I suppose I can keep some thoughts to myself. Nobody needs to tell everyone everything. I can discuss some things with friends. It seems like when I dare to trust people to talk to them, it turns out they feel and think and act like I do. I'm not unique or crazy or weird. And I can tell you, Lord, the rest. The things I don't dare tell anyone else. Jesus knows that people have all sorts of experiences and thoughts. I can tell you, Lord, you'll understand. So that no matter what it is that's kind of racing through our heads, some of those things that I know I've... Have you had this experience? I can recall exactly early part of the summer or so, having a thought that absolutely appalled me, that I would even think such a thing about some people, and was just sort of taken back by my nasty idea. What it was just blatant selfishness on my part. And a lot of times we sort of tiptoe away from those, hoping that they didn't enter our head. How much better to turn that around and turn it into a prayer and to God that says, now help me get that one straight, or forgive me would be adequate, I should suppose. Or coming face to face, Lord, I really am just a creature. Help me. That kind of thing. Being very open, head to toe, as well as we know that those times when we hit the brake fast, we utter a prayer very often. Some people might not call that a prayer, but that's what it is sometimes. God help me. Or when we're walking along, if we could just be more in tune and alive to life and say more often, oh God, thank you for this part of life. Walking into Holden Village and looking up for the first time at that silhouetted mountain and saying, I can't believe that anything is that beautiful.
Judy, at home, we live in a retirement village and have a lovely swimming pool. And I swim each morning with a woman who is 90 years old, going on 91. And she weighs over 200 pounds, but she comes in every morning and praising the Lord. She walks down those steps into the pool and looks up in the sky and she says, oh Lord, this is another beautiful day, you know. And thanks you for the swimming pool. And she verbalizes all these thank you prayers. And it just gives us all a lift for the day.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, she is just tremendous. And she doesn't see why the Lord doesn't take her, but he's not going to take her as long as she's feeling this good.
And helping all of you.
Yeah, right. I told her that. She says, you know, I'm just a bother. My daughter has to worry about getting me places and has to take me. And she says, I'd be just as happy with the Lord. And I said, yeah, but would your daughter be just as happy? I said, we wouldn't be as happy. You'd leave a real hole here, as far as we're concerned.
That is so true.
She hadn't thought of that.
Oh. Did I see another hand? Yeah.
Was it at supper last night that the pastor prayed at quite length, thanking? Some moment, I can't remember where it was, but I was thrilled to death.
It's a woman in the morning at matins. Her whole matins was a prayer.
The garbologist.
The garbologist, that's right.
She went through the garbage as a prayer.
Because 99% of the prayers are I want something. Or let's give it to somebody else. But the whole prayer was thanks. I just sat there with goosebumps because here is somebody that really pours out the way I think prayer should be. Thanks.
So much of that is an attitude about ourselves. When we see ourselves, I use the word creatures often, we see ourselves as creatures. Then we are indebted and so we are thankful. And we also understand our weakness and are not quite so afraid to go in prayer to that strength that we need. A. I know, I've got it. I couldn't remember what the A stood for in that. Sometimes it's necessary to arrange to be alone. How many of you have trouble finding time alone? Quite a few. Others don't, but some of you have a, you mentioned that you have a place in your room. There's something to be said for that kind of discipline in which we set up a place, a quiet place, and then use it, whatever it looks like. I have a friend who has set that up, and she has a candle and so on and so forth, just for that private place. And it of course helps us get into the mood of it better too. And we seldom use our church buildings, do we? Why do we keep building those buildings? How easy it would be, not how easy, but how nice it would be to be able to go into the chapel, which many of our churches have, and spend some quiet time just thinking, just meditating and praying. Today, I think you bought the book, A Celebration of Discipline, you were at least looking at it, which is a book that you may want to look at. Discipline is something that's sort of absent from most of our lives, some structure. Another man I know who lives in Minneapolis, his name is John Brantner, rides the bus because he doesn't drive. And it is his habit always to pray for the people that he sees on the street or people that he sees sitting on the bus with him. And what a good use of that piece of time, it seems to me. I can't read on the bus, I don't know about you, but that would be such a good thing to do. Or when you come to a corner and you're in your car, to be praying for the people who are going by. You'll never know, isn't that a wonderful thing?
It's good too to, if you come during the prelude in church, as the families come in, we have so many wonderful young families, to pray for those families as they come and sit down.
I like that because there's a sense in which grace is coming and people don't know it. And it kind of warms me to think about doing things like that.
For me, my side of the bed is next to the window. And I love to just turn around in the morning, flip the shade, rejoice in the new day, and take my life to meditate, concentrate on the Lord. And it starts the whole day in a beautiful tone for me.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That's a good, that would be another good line. Maybe that's something we ought to be thinking about in tangible terms here while we're, I like to get our hands on something sometimes, and maybe you ought to be thinking of that line or that verse or something that you could rely on to be your mantra, as we say, your starting point every time. Be kind of mulling that while we're talking today. The third word I was going to refer to was meditation, because I would like to give you an opportunity. We've kind of touched on all of these already. I would like to point out some of the things that are available to us here. I just couldn't begin to bring all the things that are up in that wonderful bookstore. But again, sometimes it's nice to be refreshed with new ways of thinking. One book that I've been working on often on, Gracias, by Henry Nouwen. He wrote this while he was in Peru, and it's in a journal form so that you can read just one day at a time if you choose to. Sometimes I can't stop reading. Sometimes it's so thick with things in one day that you almost have to just read a paragraph and think about that for a while. And other days you might read more. How many of you have ever read Nouwen? This man is remarkable. And here's another one of his books. The only one I could bring down was with open hands. But we have three or four of them in the bookstore.
Out of Solitude is a wonderful...
That's the one I wanted to bring.
Yeah, oh.
Out of Solitude, in fact, he'd probably be embarrassed to know that I've told you, but there's a young teenager came along with my son who brought Out of Solitude with him. He's reading it. Yes, Henry Nouwen is a very spiritual man. He is, I want to see, he's a priest, yeah. Jesuit. And he has traveled quite a lot, and he's written, he's just a prolific writer. And he's just, he just kind of digs in for you. So if you ever have a chance to read something by him, I recommend it. There he is. When you listen to him talk, Henry Nouwen talk, he just is so into what he says that his whole body talks. It's wonderful. It wears me out. I just get exhausted. Then I brought something by Mother Teresa that I discovered in the bookstore. Mother Teresa really understands about prayer. And, of course, about many other things. And this is written more in a style which I like. Maybe because I use it. This is called Words to Love By. I'll read a prayer for you if you would like to join in praying. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may be only a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light of Jesus will be all for me. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in a way you love best, by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what we do, the evident fullness of the love our hearts bear to you. Amen. She has a number of them that are different lengths. If you've read anything about Mother Teresa, you know that she really does live a life in which she sees Christ in other people. And so her ministry to the dying, which is very often her primary ministry, is never discouraging to her. She would at all times see herself caring for Christ in this moment. She also has a very strict discipline I think she's up at 5 in the morning or some terrible time like that. I had so much trouble at 7 today. Praying with the sisters who work with her. I hope I brought some unusual ones here. Walter Brueggemann praying the Psalms. Many of us like the Psalms. And in a sense, this is not a lot of prayers, but this is a conversation. This is a narrative book. Oh, I've got two of these ones. I have not heard about Elizabeth Yates since 1968, I guess. But she has put out a little book called A Book of Hours. Sometimes that's what we need, is just a little something that we can pick up and read a short piece. At least that's the way I am. Gerhard Frost writes some good pieces that I sit and read often. And this one is called 10 a.m., for example, and she has something written about that. And she's a wise woman. I would recommend her. Dom Helder Camara, whatever. Are you reading this? It's called A Thousand Reasons for Living. He's a priest from South America. A very outspoken person, very candid about how we live and how the world is organized these days.
wonderfully warm man when you see him on film and that sort of thing. Just so outgoing. And he cares for the poor, largely in Brazil. If you have a thousand reasons for living, if you never feel alone, if you wake up wanting to sing, if everything speaks to you, from the stone in the road to the star in the sky, from the loitering lizard to the fish, lord of the sea, if you understand the winds and listen to the silence, rejoice, for love walks with you. It is your comrade, it is your brother. So this is small pieces that you might like. And as long as he always refers to he is your brother and so on, I'll just balance that with Dorothy Day. Although Dorothy will always use, Dorothy always uses exclusive language too, I'm afraid. Dorothy Day, I did a program on her on Saturday. I guess we won't do one this week. I really like her. She's very much in touch with poverty and the poor and the needs of people, particularly in this country, and has served them well. I always find something in Dorothy to read. And this, too, is just small bits. And it would be like reading Henry Nouwen. You just read a little and you have to think, wow. And after all, we're on meditation. And that's what we need, something to sort of stimulate our meditating. Many of you have probably read Markings by Hammarskjöld. I see it's out in paperback now. How many have read that? Yeah, goodly number. But here was a very appealing title. Prayer for Beginners and Those Who Have Forgotten How. You. Mark Link has written a number of other kinds of books, which I have used frequently. Still Point of the Fast-Turning World, I think, was his first one. Many of them, where he collects poetry and ideas and puts them together. And I've heard him talk to a group of pastors, and he's very practical in many ways. So I thought it would be safe to recommend this to you. And I see that it's divided in a useful way. For example, this says day 4 and day 5. And he gives you a little bit of a narrative to think about, and then maybe some poetry or some scripture to work with, or a prayer. And sometimes we kind of need that. I think it's important for us to hear someone else praying, even if it's in print, now and then. I thought we should probably pray today. And we can do that in a number of ways. We can do that silently, and we'll certainly save time for that. And we can do that together. We can pray aloud together. I will be willing to have the tape turned off during that time if you would prefer. Are there those who would prefer that the tape be off? It doesn't matter, it looks like. Good for you. Then we'll leave it on, John. And feel free to offer any kind of a prayer. I think it's useful to be in a circle and holding hands so that we have that sense of bond with one another. Have you been thinking, by the way, as we've been going along now, of a phrase that you might be searching for? If you've thought of one, has anybody thought of one that you might like to use? Okay, keep thinking. Something to say. Something as a rule to keep in your mind that you can say, as you say, every morning, or as Doris says each time she gets into the car, something that you can sort of hang on to that will start you out in prayer. And then let's join together and share some of our concerns. Here, we'll come on over and
not
all together. No, not at all.
You got it just in time.
Yep. Okay.
Sure, come on in. That's nice. Okay. Yeah. Jean reminds me this is what koinonia means. Fellowship together. And I like the fact that we're all ages. all different life experiences. I'll start us off, and I'll leave some time for a silent prayer, and then I'll interrupt that silent prayer, if you'll excuse me for doing that, and begin with a verbal prayer again, and then you just join in as you wish. Lord, we thank you for the unity of the church, that you have established the possibility for us to continue to grow in love, in service to one another, as we encourage one another in the faith. Hear us now as we pray to you those things which are deep on our hearts. We will do that silently.
Lord, we ask that the words we hear today in prayer and in inspiration make the journey from our heart hips into our hearts.
Lord, be with Susan as she delivers her baby and her husband as he helps her.
I just really ask you, Lord, to be with my sister Carol as she reaches, as she is experiencing yet another adversity with cancer, and that through all of the adversity, that she finds again strength in you and never lose her faith and trust in you. Please stay close to her, and that she may stay close to you, I pray.
Dear God, we thank you for the beauty of Holden and for the times that we can have here together. We ask you to open our hearts to you, make us aware of each other and of our needs. Help us to reach out to each other, if it's only with a smile or a good morning, and to be appreciative of all the wonderful opportunities that you have given. Bless this Holden village and help it to continue to be a place where people may come to seek you and to pray to you and to show their love to you. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Guide each of us as we spend time here together, and help us all to have something a little bit more, better understanding of you and of our love and what being a Christian means when we live here, so that we may take it back with us and live lives that glorify you in all that we do, dear Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father, I pray for help and strength for Elma Witt, that he'll be sustained with good health and vision and dreams and understanding led by the Holy Spirit as he lives and works here in Holy Spirit.
Do you want hiking with your dad?
The grace of God, our hearts that are filled overflowing with the beauty of this place, but more than that, the fact that it's based on a love that just won't let us go. For the Spirit that dwells in each of us because we are here, we are deeply grateful. And so, our Father, we would pray that we might be renewed, we might be brought to our senses again, that our lives are in your hands, and that we are your children to serve you. That's our reason for life. So with all these good things that are coming to us, we pray that we might be worthy of this great calling, this chance to be called a Christian, and know that it means that we are followers of you and your Son. In Jesus' name.
Help us every day, Father, to expect a miracle, whether great or small. It brings you alive to us, and we can come alive to each other. And help us also, Lord, to thank and praise you for those small miracles that you bring to us every day.
Lord, open our eyes and help us to see the way that you work in our lives.
in small ways, great. Give us new eyes to see those things around us clearly and to understand and to really appreciate your beauty.
Dear Lord, be with Rudy's sister B, who is awaiting another operation.
Lord, your presence is so real to us here. Lift the mountains and the sky and the stars and the trees. Your presence is just can't be, just has to be seen in awe and wonder. We ask that you would continue to bombard us with your presence and that we would continue to be open to it even when we get back home. We ask that our families who are not with us and those who are would also experience you and know you. Particularly my children who are not here. And one son who is having some problems right now, David.
Heavenly Father, look over those people that call Holden Village their home. I ask some of the members that I encountered here how long was their visit here? And they said, this is home. Let us take all a part of that back with us to our homes.
Dear Father in Heaven, I thank you for the total of my being. You do see me as a jewel. Not a clod, as we recently heard expressed. And I thank you for, I depend on that. And I thank you also for the continuing strength you give my mother as she is developing her life as a widow this time.
Lord, you are as a mother hen watching over us, guarding us, these little chicks who run around so scattered and so confused. Gently you bring us back and enfold us and care for us, nurture us under the shadow of your wing. Help us to relax in life, to accept our creatureliness, to come to you in prayer when we need you, to praise you for all that you have given us in your great love. Hear us now as we pray that prayer which your Son has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.